And I pray that we all remember that, that we may know our why, that we can say, I am a child of God. I've been redeemed with the blood of Jesus, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The lie that we are counteracting today with the truth of God's word is that I am not what I do. It's not the what that's most important, is it? It's the why. And in Jesus, we know why we do what we do. The first step, I believe, in our Christian walk should be knowing our identity. If we don't know who we are, we're not going to be able to accomplish anything great purpose. When Jesus was baptized, immediately after the water had been poured, he looked up and the windows of heaven had been opened, and God the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father identified his Son, and then the very next chapter, Jesus began doing public ministry. That's there not only for his benefit, but as an example for you and me. When it was clear his identity, he was able to function. A little later in Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, who are people saying that I am? And Simon Peter, who spoke up most of the time before anybody else could, he said, well, some are saying Elijah, some are saying Jeremiah the prophet, some are saying another John the Baptist. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you are Simon Jonah, son of Jonah, but now you're the rock. Now you're Petros. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. See, when Peter knew his identity, he was able to go forward with his mission on life. The two most important questions that any of us will ever have to answer, not only our high school graduates this day, but every one of us in this congregation and all of humanity. The two most important questions, who is Jesus and who am I? When we are able to answer who is Jesus, when we're able to say like Peter, he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, then God can speak to us and tell us who we are in Christ. We need to make the declaration that he's the Son of God, that he's my Savior, and then God's favor will rest upon us. And he'll say, he's my child, she's my child. In the book of Ephesians, the first two chapters, Paul talks about how we're in Christ, how we're adopted, how we're reconciled, how we're a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5. It's all of grace. The passage I read in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it's all of grace. Those 10 verses can be summarized in two sentences. We are not saved by what we do, but verse 10 says we are saved in order to do good works. You understand the difference. Verses 1 through 9, Paul goes through a whole catalog of how we're dead. Spiritually, we're dead, and how God loves us and he redeems our life. He redeems our life. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And then verse 10 says he's recreated us in Christ Jesus for good works. We can't save ourselves. It doesn't matter how many mission trips we go on. It doesn't matter how many times we read through the Bible. It doesn't matter how faithful we are in church. We can't save ourselves, but we learn, don't we, to look up to him who can save our lives. And why does he save us? So that we can be recreated unto good works. God has special plans for you, for all of us. That if you'll notice the reading there, before the foundation of this world, God had a plan for our lives. What is grace? Let me give you an acrostic. Grace is the goodness of God. G stands for the goodness of God. It tells us in verse 4 there how much he loved us. We serve a good God. Grace begins with his goodness. The R stands for redemption by God. Verse 5 says that he made us alive through Jesus Christ. The A stands for assistance from God. He gives us help. Verse 7 talks about he ministers to us with his kindness through the Lord. C stands for
created by God, created for a mission. We're created in Him for good works. And the E stands for eternal life. Verse 7 and 8 talks about how in the ages to come, we'll be learning more and more about God's grace. But what does it mean to be in Christ? We're trying to counteract a lie. Three Sundays ago, we looked at the first lie, that I am my worst moment. Too many people believe that. I'm my worst sin, I'm my worst failure, I'm my biggest mistake, I'll never be able to recover. Well, Jesus' worst day, we all agreed, was Friday He was crucified. The sun refused to shine for 3 hours. But just 3 days later, there was resurrection. So our worst moment in God's grace can turn into a redefining moment where we're made alive through the power of the resurrection. Last week, we counteracted the lie that the world we live in will tell us, I am what I have. And we're striving for all these things, all these possessions, all this stuff. But God tells us it's not what we have that really matters. It's who we are. And today, we're talking about it's not what I do. If I were to ask you this morning, what do you do? Most of us would probably say, well, I'm a teacher, I'm a student, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. You fill in the blank. But in Christ, it's not what I do. It's what He calls me to be. I love the way Paul summed it up in the introduction to Romans. Paul said, I am Paul, a servant of God, called to be an apostle. Now, apostleship's pretty important, isn't it? But Paul had his priorities straight. He said, I am a servant of God, and God called me to be an apostle. So it's not what we do that's most important, but it's who we are in Christ Jesus. I am a servant of the living God, and He calls each of us to serve Him faithfully. So the lie is not, I am what I do. The truth of God's word is that in Christ, I can be more than conquerors, and then He will give me the strength to do the calling that's upon my life. So let's remember Michael Jr. It's not what I do that's most important, but it's why. We serve Jesus Christ as our Savior so that we can be a part of the greatest mission in all this world, God's plan to redeem humanity. I want to give you four quick word pictures before we sing our last song and our seniors recess out of here. Four word pictures of what it means to be in Christ. That phrase is abundant in Ephesians. What does it mean to be in Christ? On the back of your bulletin, I've got four verses of Scripture, different four passages listed. And I just want to kind of mention as we read these what it means to be in Christ so that we can leave here today with assurance that I'm in Christ, Christ is in me, I'm abiding in Him, He's abiding in me, so therefore I can. Whatever He asks, I can because His power is in me. The first picture I want to suggest is that we're in Christ, we're to be separated from this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? You see, separation is to be twofold. We're to be separated from darkness, the Bible tells us, but we're to be separated to God. That's consecration. That's our part. So we're separated from the things of this world that would control us, the lies that would pull us under. And we're controlled by God's grace that speaks light into our lives. So we're separated from this worldly system that would cause us to go into the pit and never be able to recover. The second word picture, and I want you to look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. We're to be situated in His will. See, we're separated from this world, and we're situated in His will. We come to Christ, and we let that be who we are. Do not love the world or the things in this world, verse 15 says. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, and then He gives three examples. There's the
the pleasures of the eye, there's the lust of the flesh, and there's the pride of life. Everything we see, all the things we want, our physical desires, all these things are from the world. But verse 17 says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The will of God. God has a plan. God has a will for your life. And that will is wrapped up in three key areas. Number one, to be saved. Secondly, to be sanctified. Third, to allow Jehovah, our God, to supply. To be saved, to be sanctified, and to let Him supply our every needs. When we're saved, that takes care of our needs. When we're sanctified and we allow the Holy Spirit to have total control, we surrender to His will, we surrender to His plan, and we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and fill us and empower us, then we're ready to meet the needs of the world around us. So we're saved for our own benefit, we're sanctified, filled with the Spirit for the benefit of this world, and then, because we're in Christ, He's Jehovah and He provides our needs. He's our supplier. All the things that we stand in need of, He has available. That's the will of God. So we're separated from living, loving this world. We're in Christ, so we're in His will. The third thing you'll notice in the bulletin, the outline, is we're to be saturated with His Word. Filled up with His Word. John 15:7, short verse, listen. Jesus said, if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Pretty powerful promise, isn't it? I read where Huckleberry Finn's teacher told him that, and he said, I went into the closet and I prayed for a fish hook and I didn't get it, so it weren't so. That's not what that verse is talking about. Jesus says, when you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then you ask what you wish and it will be done for you. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. To pray in the name of Jesus does not mean to say whatever we're seeking, whatever we want, and then say, in the name of Jesus, amen. To pray in the name of Jesus means that we're living our life as such as Christ would live if He were still on this earth, and we're allowing His Spirit to dominate, to control us. So therefore, the things that we pray, the things that we wish, will be what the Spirit is speaking, what the Spirit is saying through us. And then Jesus said, you live like that, you talk like that, you pray like that, you're going to get your prayers answered. You see, all of us have a character. Some characters are better than others. When we walk with Christ, our character is being refined. But our character, and someone said that's who we are when no one else is around. Our character. Our character is formed by the decisions that we make. Your character will be formed over your lifetime by the decisions that you make. And the decisions that you make are made because of your values in life. What are your values? Our values, the things that we hold dear, the things that we believe are true, the things that we believe are most important, our values will help determine what our decisions in life will be. And those decisions that we make over time develops our character. Well, what determines our values? And that's our faith. Your faith will determine what your values are, and your values will determine your decisions, and your decisions will form your character. That's why it's so important that our faith be in the Lord and in His Word. When we saturate our lives with the Word of God, then we become more and more like Christ. And we're, as He said, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. And we're praying for His will to be done. We're filling ourselves with His Spirit. And the last thing I believe to be in Christ means is that we're going to be satisfied with His way. We're going to be satisfied. If we've been separated, if we've been saved unto God, and now we're in His will, we're praying, we're reading, we're studying, we're filling our lives with His Word, with His Spirit, then we're going to be satisfied with God's plan, with His way. Listen to these couple of verses from Matthew 11. They're listed in your bulletin. Come to Me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Contrast that with being yoked to this world, being yoked to Christ. We're going to be bound or yoked to something or someone. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Just surrender to me, come to me, and I will lead you through. I will pull you through life. So I would recommend to our seniors and to our parents and grandparents and friends and all of our members and visitors this morning to be in Christ, to surrender to Christ and let Christ be Lord. You will never regret that decision. If we were taking a tour of a museum in France, in Paris, that's got the Mona Lisa, I don't think there's a one of us, as we walked up to the Mona Lisa, that we would say, well, I think I need a paintbrush and some paint to brush up on that masterpiece. I think I would put a little more colors in her cheeks, or maybe change her nose just a little bit. No, we wouldn't dare do that, because for almost 500 years, that's been known as the masterpiece, one of the greatest paintings of all time by Da Vinci. When we come to God's Word, we need to hear Him say to us this morning, you are my workmanship. You are my, the Greek word is poineia, it's our hand. We are God's handiwork, and we're created in Christ for good works. When Jesus hung on the cross, He said, it is finished. There's not anything you and I can do to make His plan better. There's not anything we can do to have to work along with Him for salvation. He says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, it's by grace that you're saved through faith. Young men and women, old men and women, put your faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. G. Campbell Morgan was a British preacher in England. He passed away in 1945. So almost a century ago, he was proclaiming the good news of the gospel. He had a coal miner one day come up to him, and he said to G. Campbell Morgan, he said, I wish with all of my heart that I could believe what you're saying, that forgiveness, that salvation was just as simple as saying, forgive me, God. I just can't believe that. It's too cheap. Too simple. G. Campbell Morgan looked at him and said, did you go to work today? He said, yes, I was in the mines today. He said, how did you come up out of the mine? He said, well, I just got in the cage and they pulled me up. And he said, wasn't that too cheap? Wasn't that too easy? Did it cost you anything? And he said, no, didn't cost me anything. All I had to do was just get into the cage and I was pulled up out of the pit. And then he began to see. It didn't cost him anything to get in that cage, but it cost his company a lot of money to build the shaft, to put in the cage that would bring him up back to the earth. And then G. Campbell Morgan was able to lead him to Christ when he saw that salvation on our end, it's cheap when we look at it that way. We don't have to do anything. But it cost God a lot. It cost God His dear Son. Jesus paid a cruel price on the cross for our salvation. And by grace we're saved through faith. We just step into that cage. We just step in and receive that gift, and God will lift us up to everlasting life. Oh, isn't He good? We're going to close this morning. In just a little bit, we're going to sing our last song. And you may be wondering what I brought and set here on the altar. I've got some chips. We do this in Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights. While we sing our last song, if there's anybody here this morning who would like to come forward and let me give you a chip, this is going to represent something important. This is going to represent a surrender. You may be saying, well, I've never surrendered and let Jesus be my Savior. I've got some permanent markers on the altar. I want you to, if you come up and get a chip, if you so care to, you can take one of those permanent markers and put 5/5/19. On May the 5th, 2019, I surrendered. And I quit living life my way. So right now we're saying, Lord, it's not what I do right now that's most important. It's who I am. Maybe you want to come and get a surrender chip and say, there's something I need to surrender today. I know I'm a believer, but I just want to get a surrender chip, and I'm going to put 5/5/19 on it so I will always remember on this day I surrendered this. I surrendered that to the Lord. and I'm going to go out and I'm going to live for Him. And I'm going to remember that. I'm going to put it in my pocket. I'm going to put it in my purse. I even may drill a hole in it and put a chain and put it around my neck. Help me remember that on this day, I surrendered and let God have His way. Got plenty of these chips. If you'd like to come forward while we sing, I'd love to hand you a chip. And you're simply saying, today, I'm surrendering. And I'm going to let Jesus be my Lord, and I'm going to follow Him. Let's stand together as we sing.